Yo.
Hey.
Yo, what's up, buddy?
It's working. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second here. I'm trying to light a joint. I'm trying to walk my dog and get this thing going all at the same time with my phone. I just rolled these joints. I'm trying to get everything going. I'm a bit of a mess.
You sound like my usual co-host, who's usually fucking smoking a huge blunt while he records the Comedy Suplex podcast. But
well, it's after 11 a.m. So yeah,
the streetlights are on.
I guess they are. No, there's no fucking streetlights around here. Hell no. Anyways, let's just start this thing because I'll just wing it. Everybody, you've heard some of the introduction. Everybody, I'm not going to edit this stuff really. I'm Mike Goff. Welcome to a special edition of the podcast here, MMA and Stuff. Joined by the man, the myth, and I don't know, maybe he'll be a legend one day, but not today. Today's just a man and a myth. Peach Machine. Peach, how are you doing?
What's up, Mike? Good to be on the show. Thank you for having me. I would say I'm a bit of a legend at this point in time due to my viral video on YouTube, but maybe not legendary status, but it's currently the hot sensation on the internet.
I understand that you've why don't we just take it to the beginning? You hurt yourself doing pajama wrestling.
I was doing some pajama wrestling, also known as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah, I was in a tournament. It was actually a little bit longer than 3 weeks ago, August 25th. I was in an absolute tournament, which means there's no weight classes. And it was no gi, so we weren't wearing pajamas, actually. We were wearing underwear. We were wearing, you know,
even better.
Spanx. Yeah, even better, right. So it was a tournament. It was like 16-man single elimination, and I'd made it all the way to the finals.
Nice.
And then about a minute into the final match, a freak accident occurred, and my tibia and fibula were snapped in half.
Ugh.
Did you watch the video?
Okay, here's the thing. I don't watch videos like this as a rule. I saw stuff way back in the day. I've seen heel hooks go awry and guys kick shit and you see it flop. So as soon as I saw a little bit, I'm like, that's it, I'm turning up. I just turned my head and looked away.
The video is actually surprisingly not that graphic. It was kind of a back shot from the camera. And so you don't really see the actual break, but you certainly hear it. And it sounds like a fucking gunshot, I will say.
Yeah, no, I fucking heard it all right. Oh, yeah. No, I heard it.
Oh, you played it.
Just as soon as I think I'm getting to a point here. I'm like, this isn't so bad. But this look, but I just turned away. I'm like,
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of pleasure out of showing people the video and watching their reaction. It's not quite a two girls, one cup scenario, but pretty graphic. Lots of expletives.
Far more erotic. That's for sure.
Yeah, man. So I was just doing a jiu-jitsu tournament, and you know I really blame the promoter because he was given out a prize, and the prize was a replica Intercontinental Championship belt from the 80s. You remember the white one that Warrior had?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so that was the prize, and so I was like, fuck this, I am winning at all costs. And I didn't respect the guy's leg lock game. He hit me with an outside heel hook, and it really wasn't the heel hook that did it. It was just sort of a weird leverage position. He was probably gonna get the heel hook, and I was probably gonna tap out, but he hadn't had it at that instant, and so you know, I didn't have a chance to tap. All of a sudden, you know, tap or snap, and it went snap.
Ugh.
Yeah, man, it was a bummer.
For anybody out there who ever wonders, like, what do they mean when like leg locks are more dangerous? That's why leg locks can be more dangerous.
Yes, absolutely. Like, you know, you get caught in an arm bar and the arm's coming down, it's getting locked out, it's getting straightened, it's getting a little bit of pressure, and then you can tap out. Whereas this is like, it's instantaneous death. So you got to be super cautious. A lot of guys will just tap out as soon as they're in the position because they're so afraid of them. But it was unfortunate, but, you know, I've gotten a nice 3 week break from work. Unfortunately, I'm not getting paid, which is why I started my GoFundMe campaign, which you can all go to. GoFundMe Snapped is the name. Snapped, just like the sound. So, you know, I'm about $500 to reaching my goal. I'd really appreciate it if anybody could kick me a couple of nickels. That would be great.
Yeah, that's, I know last time we talked way back when you were school teaching and all that shit, but what are you up to nowadays?
That is what I'm still doing. It is the profession of the poor people, and I am certainly a poor person at the moment. And I didn't know this. This was a surprise to me. You can pay an extra $5 a paycheck for disability insurance. And of course I didn't, because I'm a healthy young adult, and I was like, fuck that, I'll never get hurt, I'm invincible. And God damn it, I wish I would have gambled those $5.
So they won't let you work with a broken leg or something?
Well, the doctor won't clear me. So I'm also on. Because it's like a long bone fracture, there's some sort of fear of moving around too much could cause a blood clot, which would result in an embolism, which could kill me instantly. So, you know, as much as I would like to go out that way, just instant death, they're not going to let me do it on their watch. So, yeah, I'm not allowed to go back to work. I have a full fucking leg cast. I got it from my hip all the way to my toes.
Wow.
And so I'm on crutches, you know, and I'm a PE teacher. The last thing I need to do is have some knucklehead kid drill me with a kickball or, you know, anything like that. So
you can't just sit there and just like yell, run a lap, motherfucker. And just like, you know,
well, I mean, that's what I usually do. But yeah, I'm just like, do more, run till you puke. Yeah. No,
like, I feel like you could kind of like do that over speakerphone. You know, you just find one kid, like find the one kid in the class that you know is a narc. You tell that kid, like, look, you rat people out to me, I'm going to give you an A, but I want you to be my eyes and ears here. And then you got yourself an inside man.
Man, that's a great plan. I think I might do that when I come back, because I think in like either a week or two, I go back to the doctor, they'll re-x-ray me, and then hopefully they'll put me in a cast below the knee. And at that point, I think he'd probably feel comfortable in releasing me medically to go back to work.
Yeah, it's so like, you're not really, you can't do anything then, can you?
No, man. Like, I can't work out. I can't, well, I certainly can't work out. I just sit all day and try to keep my leg elevated, because if I stand up for too long, it starts to throb. I'm on blood thinners, so I got to give myself an injection in the stomach twice a day. So it's not been a very pleasant experience, but, you know, really, shit happens, and I don't blame the guy. I don't blame myself. It was just a freak accident, and I'm just kind of enjoying the time off, just doing a shitload of podcasts. And if you can check those out on comedysuplex.xyz and subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. Just trying to fill my time with pro wrestling and MMA bullshit.
Yeah, what's going on in the world of pro wrestling anyways?
A lot of bullshit, in fact. And in fact, there's never been more crossover than MMA in pro wrestling at this moment, because Brock Lesnar's back after we thought he was done, and Ronda Rousey's the champion. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, what is the deal with Brock? I know Brock, I guess, lost the title at SummerSlam, and everybody said he's going to go to the UFC. The speculation's back in the USADA pool, and then I guess he shows up and beats up the Samoan one.
Yeah, he beat up Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman in Hell in a Cell. It was it was the final match. It was kind of a clusterfuck. I mean, it was definitely a clusterfuck finish. For some reason, the Shield ran down and climbed up on top of the cage to chase Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. So there's like people on the cage, and then Brock and Heyman come down. Heyman yells at the ref, he's like, "Open the door!" And the ref was Foley. The referee was Mick Foley. And then Brock just kicked the door down. It proceeded to maul like a bear the two sports entertainers in the cage, and then he just walked away, and there was no finish.
Is he just going to Saudi Arabia and get like $5 million or some shit?
That's the going theory, is that he's back for one time shot at the Crown Jewel event going on. I think it's November 2nd or something in Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Are they calling it the Crown Jewel?
Yes, they are. Crown Jewel. The greatest Royal Rumble, and now the Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia. What do you think about them going over there in Saudi Arabia? There's a lot of people who think that's bad PR, they shouldn't do it, but I want to get your opinion.
I think that history will judge them as being on the forefront of this stuff. I think that we're just going to get more integrated, that for good or for bad, we're going to start looking the other way on what Saudi Arabia does, the same way we look the other way on China. I mean, China is just as fucking evil as Saudi Arabia for the most part. Nobody has any problem going there. It's like, oh, yeah, go to fucking Shanghai. And is that to excuse Saudi Arabia? They should all be taken out in the middle of the streets and killed like the gays that they do. But, you know, I mean, I get it. It's a lot of fucking money. It's a lot of money to turn down. I have to get like $100 million a year or some shit like that. Like, this is fuck you money. And that's what happens when you got fuck you money. You get to tell people, yeah, fuck you. I know this looks bad, but look at all the fucking money I got.
It's more than fuck you money. It's fuck me money. You can fuck yourself countless times over. So they don't care. Fuck me. They're going to Saudi Arabia. And my opinion is, good. Have them go over there and get all that moon money and bring it back here and put it into the American economy. Like, pay the boys. The boys are going to get paid monstrous. So are the girls. So is WWE. Bring that money back to America. I mean, it's our money. They're just selling our oil. They're just selling the world's oil to us.
Yeah. Hey, look. It's pro wrestling. It's pro wrestling, people.
And there's like, the other thing.
Seriously, like, what fucking moral standards are you guys, do people really expect? Like, I kind of, like, tune in a little bit here and there, and I feel like WWE's got their, like they're getting woke all of a sudden, it seems like. And that ain't going to work. People that are woke, like, they ruin comic books. They're going to ruin pro wrestling, too. That's just how it goes.
What do you mean they're getting woke? I don't really know. I've heard that term a lot, but I don't
like,
really
like, very social justice-y, like, the women's power thing, which is good. Like, I don't have a problem with women, obviously. Like, I like women mostly, I guess. But it just seems like all like the Finn Balor is just like very, like when people make these overt demonstrations of their political left leaningness, like, oh, look at me, I love gay rights. Like, dude, you're a fucking fake pro wrestling demon. I don't need to know that you like gay people too. That doesn't really work. That's kind of weird. Like, I don't know why your demon character is all about the cock, but fine, whatever. And it's just like this stuff, like. Maybe that's just like the young kids. It's like the younger generation. Maybe they're all just gay or whatever. But it's kind of
well. I have this theory, and it's like they're so progressive that it starts to become racist again. When it's so in your face, it's like, all right, you're trying too hard, right? Is that kind of what it feels like to you?
Yeah, it really is. It's pandering, but it feels like everybody doesn't know that. Like they've all worked themselves into this shit,
right? Well, so here, and I've noticed this on television commercials nowadays, and it doesn't, you know, I'm fine with it. I'm cool with all what I'm about to say here, but it's like every couple that you see on TV is now an interracial couple, like in commercials, at least, you know, like for like Ford or whatever, you know, there's a great commercial. I don't remember what it was for, like the iPad or some shit, but it was basically an Asian woman and a black man, and the black man sitting down at the kitchen table, and he's watching something on the iPad, and the wife tells him to do something, and he's like, okay, just a minute, just got to catch up on the game. Guess which game he's watching. Just take a guess.
He's an Asian man?
No, he's a black man.
Oh, he's a black basketball.
Well, see, that's what you would assume, and that would be racist to assume that, but no, he's watching hockey.
Oh, because, sure, yeah.
Because it's so in your face, right? It's like, come on, man.
Yeah,
like,
all those fucking black guys I see at Blackhawks games. Yeah.
It's right. Black people are free to watch hockey. I have no problem with that. They're absolutely free to attend Tampa Bay Lightning game. They just don't.
Yeah. So, and when you pretend otherwise, it's almost like you're acknowledging like what you think is racism. It's like, it's not racism. Like, just because more black, I don't know, just black people like basketball. It's probably because they live in fucking cities. Black people tend to be in inner cities due to historical things, blah, blah, blah. I get it. People in cities don't like hockey because you can't play it. You can play basketball anywhere. You need like 12 feet in a hoop. You need like a lot of, you need ice to play hockey. And most black people, turns out, don't like ice.
Boy, this conversation is why neither of our shows on WrestlingObserver.com. We're like the bastard children of that website conglomerate, even though we're both vital members. Don't you agree?
I always agree that I'm a vital member of every organization, whether or not I like it or even participate in it. I know that my contributions would in fact be outstanding.
Yes.
Just like, well, I guess Ronda Rousey's contributions to WWE have been outstanding.
People are sucking her dick for her selling, and it's fine. It's good. And her performances have been completely passable and, you know, good pro wrestling, but she shouldn't be selling. What got her over was murdering women in 1 minute with arm bars. And instead they have her going out there, getting her ass kicked like a regular babyface champion and then making a comeback. And it's like, nobody wants to see that. They want to see Ronda dominate.
So, like, how does the crowd, like, do the fans still see her as special? Is she still kind of, like, treated that way?
She's definitely treated as special, and the fans still respect her as being special, but they won't soon. And just like they did, just like, you know, they made Brock Lesnar just a guy, they're going to make Ronda just a woman. And that's what they want. They want it to be just this middle of the road, super safe. You know, this is our company, and we tell you what you like, and you don't get to dictate. And so we have our vision for her, and that's what she's going to be. So to hell with the fans.
They did just sign for like a $1 billion deal for SmackDown, though, or something, right? So maybe they know what they're doing. I don't know.
Well, it's not that they know what they're doing. It's that they have a product that advertisers are willing to pay for, because it's live sports. And live sports are the only thing that people are still watching advertisements on. Even though you can just even though you can just record it for 20 minutes and then fast forward through all the commercials like most people do. But, you know, they happen to have their deal come up at the right time, and they struck gold. You know, UFC just signed for a monster deal as well.
Yeah, it's almost like they're rich, getting richer.
Yes, that is unfortunate.
I've noticed this pattern emerging in the world.
Yes, there's fewer and fewer middle class people. The rich get the 1% is now the 0.1%, and you know the poor people are even more poor. So, hey, but you know, we just put the richest person in all of America in the White House. So, you know, what do we expect?
That's true. And poor guys like you get stuck on the street begging for change because you're trying to, you know, just make ends meet because you break your fucking leg in a jiu-jitsu tournament.
Absolutely. So, yeah, man.
So when you broke the leg, like my uncle's an orthopedic surgeon. He actually told me once, because there was some guy in Sioux Falls that jumped off a bridge and got hit by a truck. Like, it was a suicide. And I thought, like, how horrible would it be if you didn't die, like, all that pain? And he said, no, your body would go into shock. You wouldn't feel the pain for 5 to 10 minutes. Was that the case with your leg?
Yes, completely true. I felt pressure in my shin, and then it snapped, and then I went completely numb. I fell to my back, and I went into shock, and I was very calm. If you listen to the tape, the guy who breaks my leg, he actually goes crazy. He's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, fuck, 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 fuck. And I'm like, you can hear my voice. I go, call the ambulance. Like, just like that.
Jeez.
Call the ambulance. And it didn't hurt until I got to the hospital. And once it did, and of course that was right when they were going to splint it, that hurt like hell. And there was just a couple of nurses trying to lift my shin, and I'm trying to be still, and they're just, and, you know, every little, you know, feather brush is just sending me through the roof. And I don't know if you know this about the state of Florida, but we have quite the pain pill epidemic.
Yeah.
And they were very, very stingy on the medication, which I'm sitting here going, they had to read me my rights every time they give me a shot of morphine. They're like, all right, you understand that this is addictive. You understand that this has potential for abuse. You understand that this has side effects. And I'm like, you understand that I have 2 pieces of my shin bone right here, right?
Fuck.
I don't give a shit. Just give me the shot. Like, I'll deal with all that later. I'm not going to get addicted. Like, I'm in monstrous pain here. So it was the most pain I've ever felt in, like, an individual, you know, like, spot on my body, for sure.
And, like, how do you feel mentally about, like, have you had, like, nightmares about this? Like, it's kind of, you know, this could be a very, like, legitimately a traumatic event, and I'm kind of curious to see if you're having kind of, like, trauma survivor issues.
Nothing like that, really. I will say that the first time I watched the video back, it made me sick to my stomach. The first couple times, I really couldn't watch it. Now I've seen it, you know, maybe 25, 30 times, and it's just like, yeah, whatever. I know when the pop comes and all that stuff, but it's something I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life, for sure. Like I am very, you know, I'm not a leg lock guy, and
right.
I definitely need to become a leg lock guy, because that's the way the sport's going. So I've been studying lots of leg lock defense. Are you still playing jiu-jitsu? Are you still doing it?
I haven't done it for a long time, about a year and a half or so. After I blew out my knee, I only came back just to prove to myself that I could do it. But
yeah.
Mentally, I've been, like, trying to remove some, like, aggressive tendencies from my life. And also, I just got lazy, so.
Right. I understand. Where were you training up there? Was it, like, a Gracie Baja or?
Carlson Gracie's headquarters.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
was
yeah.
Was he there?
Yeah. Carlson was there all the time. And,
nice.
Well, not all the time. Not as much as he should have been. But, yeah, whatever. He's a busy man. But,
sure.
Eh. whatever, shit happens, as they say. So with the leg break, though, so I presume then you're going to return to jiu-jitsu.
Fuck yeah, man. I'm a brown belt. Brian Alvarez is my black belt, and he gave me my black belt this past WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans. He surprised me at the brunch we were having, and, you know, he's given me all my belt promotions, and I ain't gonna quit till I get that black belt. So I'm going. You know, I dropped out of my PhD program, you know, so I'm getting a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
It's probably more valuable.
It's definitely more valuable on the streets. And you know, my goal is to open up my own school and to be a black belt that has his own MMA, jiu-jitsu, weightlifting, boxing, wrestling, you know, all components of fighting under one gym. And that's what I would really like to do. And I'm also the wrestling coach, and I really like coaching wrestling. I like instructing. It's so much different. Like, I spent all summer in St. Louis coaching for a friend of mine who is a black belt, and it's so much better, you know, compared to being a PE teacher, when the people in your class want to be there and have paid money to be there and want to know the knowledge that you have for them. It's an enjoyable experience.
So is your goal to, like, would you be thinking like kind of like a, like legit, like an ATT type of thing? You're thinking more of like a total, like, family type of, you know what I mean?
I'm torn. I'm not a big fan of like the kids classes. I think those end up just being babysitting. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you can make money doing it, I guess I'll have to be at all. It more like an ATT, more like hey, high level training, you know, with you know, good coaches and strength protocols and rehab guys and doctors and things like that. So that's really what I want to gear towards.
That's interesting as hell. So, like, when you look at that industry, what do you think? What do you think some of these schools are lacking?
They're not like compulsory. They're just sort of like individual pieces. Like, I go here for my boxing. I go here for my jits. It's like you can put all that in one location. And also, you do need a variety. You need to have multiple people, because I lived in Knoxville before I moved to Florida, and I used to train with Ovin St. Preux and his team in Knoxville. And, you know, I rolled with OSP all the time, and we did stand up all the time. But it was only the same 20 or, you know, 15 or 20 guys that he ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And the same coaches that have been with him throughout his career. And I think you got to have fresh looks. And so I think one of the big problems with the MMA gym or the jiu-jitsu gym is there's so much politicking and shit. And it's like, what I like about being down here in Clearwater is that all of these gyms have the working relationship where you can go to wherever. No one's going to have hurt feelings. No mm-hmm. one's going to be upset. So we just want to improve the sport. And so that's really what I'm looking to do, is just be a friendly version of American Top Team.
Well, that sounds like it's got a plan. And that's honestly like half of it these days, you know? Like,
yeah,
working towards something, it seems.
Right, right. And then I just got to get a couple of named fighters underneath me, and then we go from there. But, you know, I'm working with the guy who ran the tournament. He's got a school, Omega MMA and J Park Taekwondo. And currently, some of the guys, you know, Harry Smith trains there when he's in town. Jack Swagger works out up there sometimes. And we got some guys coming through, but it's primarily a jiu-jitsu gym. So I want to get some MMA fighters in my gym.
Yeah, Jack Swagger and all, oh shit, oh god damn it, I almost got hit by a fucking skunk. I'm in the fucking suburbs here. Anyways, Jack Swagger, all these guys. You think we're gonna see more guys leaving WWE and going into MMA?
Well, WWE, I don't know about, because if they start paying them, those guys, you know what they're worth with all the billions that they're gonna have, maybe not. But I like Ronda and like Brock, I and Bobby Lashley and a bunch of other guys. I'm certain we're going to see more of that, because pro wrestling, it's great, but it takes a huge toll on your body, and it's just something about it not being legit that I think guys want to go out there. You know, guys who get into pro wrestling, like they're wrestlers, really. Like they want to be competitive, and so I think MMA is that outlet. So yeah, I think we'll see a lot of crossover.
Like just thinking like. Suppose like we're coming up on like a first generation of guys that probably grew up like from a young age with UFC and WWE being front and center, you're gonna see, like, I would imagine some of these indie guys who are doing all this New Japan stuff, well, they are outstanding athletes, and there's no reason why some of them probably won't go over and do legitimate MMA.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's a thing where it's like, well, if you lose in MMA, you're not valuable in pro wrestling, but I think that's bullshit. Like, nobody really equates those two things. But you're right. The first generation of kids who have always had UFC in their lives, who have had Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu since they were 4 years old. You know, I'm starting to see some of these kids show up now in our classes. And there's this little guy I roll with. He's maybe seventh grade or eighth grade or something. His name's Carlos. He's phenomenal. Like, I can't even, like, the shit that that he knows is just surpasses me. And I'm a brown belt, and he's, you know, unbelted little kid. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, yeah, duh, because he's been doing this since he was 4 years old. And now he's been, you know. And it's something about learning that shit when you are a kid that really imprints in your head and really makes it, you know, like, I was a high school wrestler, but I didn't have middle school wrestling. And had mm-hmm. I had middle school wrestling, I would have been a much better wrestler.
Right. Like, you see how, like, all these guys, like Johnny Hendricks and all these guys, like, they were, like, you know, state champions at five or whatever. And you just go, oh, right. Like,
right.
This is what they don't have in England. You know, England doesn't wrestle at the age of five. They got to be 30 years old trying to figure out what a fucking underhook is.
Right. They start out and they're like, well, like, you know, what is this shit? And meanwhile, like, kids are whizzering and you know, stuffing single legs and doing all sorts of crazy shit, you know, working rubber guard when their legs really are rubber. It's going to be a hell of an evolution. And, you know, some of these guys who are champions now, even like Max Holloway and even McGregor to an extent, you know, these guys are fighters who have been fighting for their entire life. So it's only going to get more competitive at the top.
And you might be right there at the forefront. So
that's the
forward
plan.
To hearing more about that. All right. Before we get going, because I got to start the next podcast
sure.
here, plug it everything one more time. Everything you're doing in life. I want to make sure everybody hears it. And somebody please give him money. I don't care if it's like a dollar. Just a dollar at least. Just a dollar or two. Come on.
Well, thanks for begging for me. But you can go to GoFundMe, Snapped, SNAPPED. Pick me up while I'm down. That's what it's called. Yeah. Give me a couple of bucks. I would really appreciate it. You know, I'm not a guy who has a lot of expensive tastes in life, but I would like to eat some food. That'd be great. You can check out all my wacky podcasts and all my nonsense at comedysuplex.xyz. Last in the alphabet, but first in your hearts. That is, I've got three shows up over there. The Comedy Suplex Podcart with my co-host Mikey G. I do Peach Machines Parade, which is basically me interviewing a bunch of wacky characters. And then I do a grappling cooperative, which is me and my best friend, Nature Boy John, or one of my best friends. And we get a little bit more analytical about pro wrestling. It's less wacky, a little bit more serious. And yeah, you can follow me on social media at Peach Machine or at Comedy Suplex. And yeah, that's about it, Mike. Thank you so much for having me on again. I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity to tell my story.
No, happy to have you on, and you know, best of luck with all that. And everybody, again, for everybody who's donating, I will match it up to $5 for one person or something. I don't know, but somebody give some money or something like that. Everybody, anyways, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back when we're back. All right, Peach, that was great.
Thanks, dude. Really appreciate it. Who
no
you got
problem.
Next?
Me and Matt Grady are going to do 2 hours on just whatever the hell just happened with John Jones.
Oh, what happened?
He just got reinstated, effective October 28th.
Oh, no shit. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, brother. All right. Good listening. I'll keep sending you articles.
Sounds great. Take care.
All right, brother. Bye.